You may be seated. Der faithful God, who has given all the promises, who has made the covenant with us, who has chosen us before the foundation of the world to be his own possession, to spend together with him eternity. Therefore, he has given us eternal life by his grace. Only he who really has received eternal life can and will live eternally. All the others, they, according to Revelation 20, they will suffer the second death, and one doesn't hear and see anything of them anymore. The first death is when the soul leaves the body. The second death is when the breath of life, the spirit which God had given to mankind to be a living soul, then it leaves the soul. And that was it. Therefore, the proclamation of the gospel is of such great significance that people are being born again unto a living hope, receiving eternal life by his grace. We are all feeling the presence of God. Let me just briefly say here, we have a special prayer request from Abidjan, which we would like to bring also to the Lord during the service. Then we have the question of baptism. God willing, beginning of April or beginning of May, just say it to all who are not yet baptized biblically. This is very much necessary. Everything what belongs to Rome, to put it off and to be sanctified in the word of truth, coming back to the beginning. There's an announcement that, God willing, on the 22nd of April, we will be in southern Germany, in the city of Böblingen. We will have a meeting. On the 23rd of April, we will be in Salzburg. On the 24th of April, we will then be in Zurich. Then we have greetings from Burkina Faso. The people are just overwhelmed. They are listening. They are hearing and watching. Now, special greetings from Kenya, then from the Chad, from Lamena, then from our brother Joseph from Kinshasa. And he also made the remark that we are not only having part in the ministry which God has given to Brother Branham, but that we have part in the continuation, and that we receive the food, the revealed living word, and that we can pass it on. And in connection with this, two scriptures are becoming very great to me. Isaiah 28 speaks of that all the tables are full of vomit, and everywhere where not God's word is being passed on in the original, where people are speaking their own opinions, there all tables are full of vomit. But there where God prepares us the table in the presence of our enemies, there is the clear prepared food for us. Then the greetings from Port Elizabeth. Then greetings from Edmonton, from the whole family Ellis. Then greetings from various, from Den Haag, from The Hague. By the way, I received two emails with an invitation to the group of Rome in Rome. God willing, we will also be there in the future. And God is really opening doors everywhere, also with those who sometimes went into this and that direction. God calls back, he gives orientation in his word and through his word. Then we have also greetings from South America. It's just brothers and sisters who are joined with us and with the Lord. And I say it in this way. He who in this time is joined with the Lord, he is also joined with all who are joined with the Lord. The Lord leads his church into the unity of faith and of the knowledge, so that we truly, without our own effort, are becoming one heart and one soul, just as it was in the 10 days before the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One heart and one soul. Just one single expectation that the power from on high is being poured out, and so that the church is empowered to continue the ministry of our Lord. This is the purpose of the church, of the body of the Lord, that God can continue, and that we proclaim the same gospel. And by this, the church is being edified. Just as we looked at it last night, as the temple was built upon the same foundation, with the same measurements, at the same place, so also the New Testament church is built up upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, as it is written in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, and they remained in the doctrine of the apostles. Let us go today from denomination to denomination. There's not one denomination on earth who would be in the doctrine of the apostles. All are having their own creeds, their own programs, but there's one church, the church of Jesus Christ, the church of the firstborn. And this church is not an organization, but the living organism, the body of the Lord. A body is no organization, but it's a organism which functions. So it is also with the church of the living God. The next part of last night, may all receive the word of the Lord, which was laid directly upon my heart. May all who believe God now, that they can make the claim that they and their children are saved and that they experience the salvation also by His grace. Also in this, the end will become like the beginning. And we can just leave it up to God. Only believe, and we will see the fulfillment of the promise. It's a promise, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and all who are far off. A promise. It's a promise of God. A promise of God. And no child will bypass it. No one who is ordained for eternal life will bypass it. Then, as the next one, we have last night briefly referred to it, of what is happening on the earth. And if we then think on Daniel chapter 2, and also Daniel chapter 7, that the last world power will come up, and that at that time the God of heaven will erect His kingdom on the earth. And if I then goes here to the prophet Daniel, perhaps just reading verse from Daniel chapter 7, and then also one verse, just one verse from chapter 7, and one verse from chapter 9. Here it's written, let's say two verses, verse 17 and 18, Daniel 7,
jene gewaltigen Tiere vier.
These great beasts, which are four, are four kings which shall rise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever.
Ja, bis in eine Ewigkeit von Ewigkeit.
And the most powerful is that in chapter 9 is written, chapter 9, verse 22 and 23, and he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill in understanding. Then, verse 23, at the beginning of thy supplications, the word of God came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. And now comes the most important. Therefore, give heed to the word and understand the vision. One has to take heed to the word to understand the revelation which was given us in the word. We thank God that He is precise. We thank God that He is precise. Now from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, just to show us, when special things are happening on the earth, then the heaven comes down. Then the supernatural is taking place on the earth. Revelation 1, verse 1 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Here we have the introduction to the last book of the Bible, the prophetic book, which includes the whole plan of salvation. And we see that here the angel was sent to show the man of God on the Isle of Patmos what will shortly come to pass. Verse 2, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. And if we then think about that God in this prophetic age, also in the ministry of Brother Branham, he did extraordinary things. Most expressing it is when he speaks of the 7th of May 1946 at around 23 hours at night, he reports of it. He was sitting with a Bible. The Bible was on his bosom. And behold, the supernatural light came down into the building. And in this light, the angel descends. He hears then the steps and he comes toward Brother Branham and he says, do not fear, I am sent from the presence of God to you to give you the commission. And then he said in detail what would take place. Because just as Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs. In all the details, the man of God was told what would take place. And it did take place. God not only spoke, God has fulfilled the things which were said. So we are dealing with God here, with a plan of salvation, with the last period in the time of grace, in which everything comes to fulfillment of what was announced on the earth. With Israel, with the nations, but in particular with the church. And let us be honest, even if we would know all the mysteries and if we would could place all things biblically and if we would not have been endued with the power from on high, as written in Romans 8, verse 11, if that Spirit who raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he will make your mortal bodies alive. The transforming power must dwell in this body so that this body can be changed by his grace. And therefore, brothers and sisters, may it be our main request that the Lord really puts such a longing into us that we can just say, just as Jacob, Lord, I don't let you go until you bless me. Just wrestling through until it really takes place and until the Lord can manifest his glory. In the last chapter of the book of Revelation, we have also the important verse, verse 6, Revelation 22, verse 6. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And here is the mystery. Beloved brothers, all you who are also ministering with the word, first in the singular unto his servant John, but then in the plural to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. God always uses one servant to pass on to all the other servants what they have to pass on to the people. The same is with Matthew 24. If it's written of one wise servant, then it also says that those who have to give out the food, this servant gives them what they need to give to others also the same food. God is just doing it this way. God doesn't have a committee on the earth with which he would counsel. God speaks out commissions, and all who are then ordained by God himself to have part in the proclamation, they will get and have the same revelation. And beloved brothers, who you are preaching the word, I'm just saying here, I'm just saying that the Holy Spirit reveals always the same. And there's no difference. There can be no difference in any country that somebody comes, oh, God revealed it to me in a different way. As it was revealed in the Word of God, so it will be revealed to all by the same Holy Spirit who are preaching the word and who are hearing the word. All of you, you have the same revelation which God gave to Paul, which God gave to Peter. The same revelation which God had given to all his servants, to Daniel, to Isaiah, to all the prophets. All of us, we are having the same revelation by the same Holy Spirit. And that we found grace in this period of time, this is not your and my merit, but it's the choosing before the foundation of the world. God knew that we would listen. God knew that we would believe. And therefore, he could write our names already in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Let us also think on the word of introduction. He will come. Blessed are we if we are not drawing back. Because those who draw back, with them, God is not well pleased. But Enoch had the well pleasing of God. That's how it is written in Hebrews 11. And when our Lord was baptized in obedience, the voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Let us walk the whole way with our Lord in obedience of faith. Now it's very important, as never before, to remain faithful, to remain obedient, and to remain in the will of God. Let us come back to the thought which we also touched upon last night briefly. The birthright, being born again unto a living hope. I actually wanted to bring here the sermon of Brother Branham, the seed of discrepancy. Yesterday we were speaking about it. There are just two different seeds and two different sowers. Matthew 13 speaks very clearly about it. The one sower sowed the good seed, and the other one sowed the evil seed when the people slept. Both seeds on the same field. Both seeds are receiving the same rain, the same sun. Both seeds are rejoicing. Let us be honest, in all of Christianity, also in the denominations who call themselves as the full gospel believers, who believe in the spirit baptism and so forth, who believe in the gifts of the Spirit, who believe in the return of Jesus Christ, and nevertheless are objecting and rebelling and rejecting what God did. And the Holy Scripture says that we should not reject him who speaks to us, because if those didn't succeed, so we will also not succeed. So we see here very clearly that the two different seeds have two different reactions. The other side, they were writing about many things about Brother Branham. And behold, there is an elect flock who has bypassed all the critics, who believed God and who received the word of promise. Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. They received him and they believed him, and it was revealed unto us. Be honest, with whom one can speak about this? People are just saying, oh, leave us alone with this man, with this Branham. Leave us in peace. No, not like this. We believe what God did. And in particular, all the supernatural confirmations which God has given in our time to draw our attention not to the preparer of the way, but unto him who sent him. Also this we said time and again. A man of God joins not the people with himself. A man of God connects the people with God. And this has to take place by the proclamation of the word. But from the very beginning, there were two different seeds in the same body, Cain and Abel. And it's already written in Genesis 3, verse 15, that God would put enmity between these two different seeds. We cannot change it. This God had to do this way, and there's no mixing. The one is the seed of God, which is ordained for eternal life, and by grace we received the birthright. And the other seed has to also, of course, remain what it is. If one looks at it carefully, then it's again fulfilled. Cain could only be what he was, jealousy and all kinds of things. And then came even the murder. There is no true child of God with a devilish nature. And there is no child of the devil with a divine nature. The one is the seed of God, and the other one is the seed of the evil one. And between these two seeds has been put enmity, and this enmity has to be so that no mixing can take place. Sons and daughters of God are sons and daughters of God throughout all eternity. And so we're just grateful to our Lord time and again for his word. Now also, to bring this thought to the end, today, on this Sunday morning like this, in thousands of denominations, they are singing, oh, everywhere they are singing, I adore the power of love. All the nice singings are going on. And then our Lord says, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And they rejected the word of God, putting up their own creeds and dogmas. In vain. Everything is in vain. Why? Because God seeks such people who are worshipping him in spirit and in truth. Not in the confusion, because God is not in the confusion. God is in his word, and his word is the truth, and we are also in this word. But it really must be emphasized what grace actually means. Grace means to have been called out, being separated, just as the people of Israel were separated from all the other nations. So also the church of the new covenant is being separated from all the other churches and denominations, and are being called out from all peoples, tongues, and nations. And all who are part of the bride, they will hearken to the voice of the bridegroom, because thus it is written, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Also therein, one can examine himself, whether one only speaks of a subject, or whether one received the connection, the access from God to this word. Everybody can speak about Matthew 24, about the wise and the foolish virgins. But who asks himself the question, who am I? Where do I find myself? How do I stand before God? Do I only have the illumination? Do I have only the lamp? Or do I have the fullness of the Holy Spirit to refill, so that the lamp is not diminished in the very important phase, but that it can be always refilled? As I mentioned yesterday, the example of Addis Ababa, many times we experienced it together with Brother Menard, how the spirit baptism is being, people are falling down and things like that. There was no trace of baptism in the Holy Spirit. It was man-made. I'm even thinking now on this charismatic on the Philippines in Manila. He was taking off his jacket and swinging it like this, and he said, thus the Holy Spirit moves and the people are falling down. No, that's how the man was swinging his jacket, not the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, then comes reverence. When the Holy Spirit is at work, then not the man on the platform is being seen, but the manifestation of the power of God in the people of God. About this, many things could be said. Brother Branham emphasized it in the sermon, the anointed ones in the end time. It's about signs and miracles, about everything. With God, it's about the Word. About the Word, God sends His Word and makes well. And then it's about that He confirms His Word in those who believe it. And so we have the assurance that the Lord God, who has led us up to this point and who has given grace to remain in His Word, and by this to remain in His will, that He leads us even unto the completion. And until we will experience a full restoration. And I just believe it. I believe it. That in this year, great things will take place. Really, great things will take place. To it, I have read two scriptures. Two scriptures. One from Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, here, as I mentioned also last night, here it speaks of that we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly, to the festive assembly, festive gathering. I looked it up. Deuteronomy, I looked it up, what a festive gathering was meaning in the Old Testament. Leviticus 23, Leviticus 23, verse 24, it speaks of a festive gathering. Verse 27, it speaks of a festive gathering on the great day of atonement. There was not only a gathering, a meeting, it was a festive gathering, a very special meeting which God ordained Himself to bless. So, if here in the New Testament is written, you have come to a festive gathering, then not only a general service, not only a service, a meeting, a special gathering in which God has blessed in a special way and in which special things have taken place according to the plan of salvation. Brothers and sisters, it's true, in our time, extraordinary things are taking place. Although our service have outwardly a certain norm and order, but actually we are coming together in the presence of God to experience what the Lord will do by His grace. Now, verse 23, and to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. Are we part of it? Say amen to it. This was not loud enough. Just a strong amen, say it. To a festive gathering, to an innumerable company of angels, to the church of the firstborn who are written in heaven, the firstborn, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and so forth. God means well with us. Now, let us go to Matthew 13, which we know very well. Just to make, to emphasize a few points here. Matthew 13, it gives us insight about which kind of reaction the Word of God would like to have in us, must have in us. Of the fourfold field it speaks here. So, it's not only the seed is important. Yes, the seed is important, but the ground must be prepared. The word must be received. Here in Matthew 13, especially verses 13, therefore, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11. But to them it is not given. Who are the you? And it is given unto you. Who are the you? And our Lord spoke in parables. Let us read. Verse 10 and 11 first. And the disciples came and said unto Jesus, why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them it is not given. Verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not. And hearing, they hear not. Brothers and sisters, God has given us ears to hear, eyes to see. And this is the grace which was given unto us. Be honest now. All the preachers are interpreting the parables. Each one in his own mind. Our Lord says, I will open my mouth, and I will reveal what was hidden from eternity. And he who sees then the simplicity of these parables in Matthew 13, there it was revealed what God has hidden from eternity on. And until now, it is still hidden to all those whom God didn't reveal it yet. And then it says, but unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. And then comes the beatitudes, the blessedness in verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Everything God has put in an order, and we want to let ourselves be placed into this divine order. And we say, Lord, speak, thy servant hears. Lord, speak, thy child hears. And we are just here to hear. Then comes the parable of the wheat and of the tares, of the two different seeds. And then comes the end of the world, of the harvest. The wheat will be gathered into the garner, and the chaff will be burned. Everything we find here in one single chapter, even in verse 30, it's of course written, Matthew 13, verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And we believe that the Lord, as the corn of wheat died, John 13, he has given his life, and that we are the fruit which has come up as sons and daughters of God. Really? With the birthright? Brothers and sisters, please believe it. Believe it with all your heart. It would be impossible for you if you would not have been chosen before the foundation of the world, that you in this time believe God, and that you place yourself on the side of God, bearing all the reproach, all the scoffing. This is grace which was given to us. May the people say what they like. We may believe as the scripture has said, and we may have part in what is written and in what was promised. Now verse 35 in Matthew 13, which I actually want to emphasize also. Matthew 13, verse 35. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All of the plan of salvation of our God was kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then Paul writes in the book of Acts, chapter 20, I have declared unto you all of the counsel of God. And then we can go from chapter to chapter and see how God has used his prophets and apostles, his servants. In the summary, all of the plan of salvation was set forth. And today, we have this wonderful word, the Old and the New Testament, in full harmony. For us, it's just so important that we read Ephesians chapter 1, that we know that we have been included in the election, in the foreordination of God. If the Lord has spoken in parables, if he has proclaimed in parables what was kept secret before the foundation of the world, then it happened for our sakes, who we were chosen before the foundation of the world, to hear what he has to say to us in this time. Here it's written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. not in our self-made sanctification, but sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is the truth. Being penetrated by the word of God, by the truth, to not fall into any error. Then, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to all the sons and daughters of God who were included in the predestination, on them God's well-pleasing rests. Please believe it, brothers and sisters. If God is not well-pleased in us, who will believe his promises? In whom shall he have his pleasure? In whom? If God does not confess us as we confess us to God, to whom shall God confess? Whom? We are claiming here that the faithful Lord, who has revealed unto us his word and will, that he gives us the joy to really believe, as the scripture says, so that the full blessing of God, the full restoration, the full separation, the full faith can come to work in us. Verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We can just thank here, giving glory to him. The redemption is finished. Our Lord died on the cross of Calvary. Let us also say it in these 3 points, be it the Godhead, be it the water baptism, be it the Lord's Supper, everything was changed. Everything was interpreted privately. There, the Lord's Supper, the bread is changed into the body of the Lord. And he who looks at it precisely, he knows that nothing was changed at all. And then the wine shall be changed in blood. And this parson, who puts the wine into the cup, nothing was changed at all. But when one sees all this idol worship, which is committed there, they are bowing. Before whom are they bowing? Before whom? Everything has fallen into error. Everything is decorated with a Christian mantle, and it's still Antichrist. So it must come to the point when our Lord said in Matthew 26, take, eat all of it. Then they of course didn't eat his natural body, but they were eating bread which he was breaking. And giving the wine, he said, I will not drink of this fruit of the wine anymore until I drink it anew with you. He was showing, pointing to him, his body, his blood he would shed. And he shed it on the cross of Calvary. He didn't pour out wine. He has shed his holy and precious blood. And in this blood was the divine eternal life. And we, as the blood-bought flock, we received this eternal life by his grace. People are just being misled. Thanks be to God, who is leading us back to his word, and who is giving us clarity about every word. The same is with water baptism. One just Has to imagine this. There, Ephesians 4, verse 5 is recited. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And all the denominations in the country, whatever the name is, they are referring to this one verse. And they are condemning all who baptize again. Martin Luther cursed those who baptized again. And all the big churches are doing it today also, whether loud or silent. Why? They just say, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And they are claiming of themselves, this is the one baptism which is being done by the church, and to this one baptism not a second baptism may be added, because it's written, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. But if it is written like this, then one has to come back to the one Lord, to the one faith, to the one baptism. Then one has to read how the one baptism was administered. Of course not with three times dipping here, three times dipping. It's not no baptism at all. It's no baptism at all. The word baptism means immersion, dipping under. And in the days of our Lord, it was immersed. There was much water. There John baptized. And he who knows the story of the eunuch, here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized? Jesus went into the river Jordan and he was baptized by immersing. But the big churches, beginning with the Russian and the Roman church and Orthodox church, who they are, they took over the dogma. And they tell the people, now the man is being born again by the water and by the Spirit. Now he has become a child of God. Oh, what is connected with it? And then comes the verse, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And they are condemning all who are baptized biblically. Until this very day, God's word was misunderstood, it was misinterpreted, and all of mankind was misled unto this very day. But this is now the hour of God, God's hour, the hour of truth. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Then we come to the Godhead. One Lord and God, not two or three, one living and true God who revealed himself in the Old and in the New Testament, the same yesterday, today, and forever. One baptism, and baptize them into the name, not in three titles, but in the name. And Peter was, of course, present when the baptism was commissioned. He was listening carefully. And what the Lord has said as the risen one, he understood it the right way. That it's really about the name, about the New Testament covenant name of our Lord. Emmanuel, God with us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Go into all the world and teach all nations and baptize them. In the original, it says really, and baptize them into my name. You can read it in the Nestle Testament and in church history. But then came up the formulation. and baptism into the name. And the name was revealed. And the first baptism, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And behold, every baptism took place since the day of Pentecost happened in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood-bought flock is connected with the New Testament covenant name. Brothers and sisters, let us not break the covenant. Our Lord says, this is the new covenant in my blood. The blood-bought flock is in the covenant of the New Testament. She received what the Lord prepared and promised for us. And what he is... So, one Lord, one baptism. But the biblical baptism, Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 19, Romans 6, and all the other scriptures. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. How grateful we can be that God has helped us. Also the revelation about the Godhead, it's mighty. It's really mighty. And the revelation about the water baptism. Let us say it honestly. Also all the other Pentecostal churches who remained in the Trinitine doctrine, they remained in the triune baptism. And all are raising their hands, and all are thinking that they are baptized in the Spirit. No, not like this. When the Holy Spirit has come, he shall lead you into all the truth. And as Brother Branham set it forth, it's not enough to be anointed in the second realm. Not enough. This is not enough. The life of God must be in the soul. And the soul is the most inner. The man became a living soul. And it's about the salvation of the soul. Therefore, let us summarize of what's it all about. Not only a gathering, a festive gathering, where God's people from near and far are coming together, just as then at the great day of atonement. A festive gathering in the presence of the Lord. A gathering where the trumpets were sounding and where God has poured out his visible blessings. All that, what the Lord has promised for us, this we will receive. He has given the guarantee for it. Let us emphasize once again, this is the hour of God, for the message of God, for the last call, really for the calling out of the bride church. But only whom the Lord opens the ear, he will hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And only he who is part of the bride church will hearken to the voice of the bridegroom. And only he who listens carefully, just as written in Luke chapter 4, when the Lord started, beginning with Moses and the Psalms and the prophets, he expounded all things. And then he opened unto them the understanding for the scripture. And then the hearts were burning. Then came revelation. Then came understanding. The same it is today with us. A festive gathering means consciously to have been invited by God consciously, to have part consciously. These are not general meetings as they are done all over. No, these are festive gatherings in the presence of God, in which we are hearing the Word of God as the living Word, coming back to the original faith. For us, at this place, in this country, in all of Europe, and this is valid unto the ends of the earth. I'm really happy about that God has blessed on the African continent such a rich harvest he has there. And not only because Brother Branham in June 1955 in Zurich has seen the German eagle flying over Africa. He himself had such a great desire to return once again to Africa. And it was not granted to him anymore. He only was permitted to come for hunting, but he was not allowed to have meetings, because the meetings would have been in the thousands. But God always finds a way and a possibility to hear and to call who shall be called. And this is now happening in our time in an extraordinary way, in all people's tongues and nations. Because that's how God ordained it. That's how he promised it to Abraham. And that's how we find it in Galatians chapter 3. In thee all kindreds of the earth shall be blessed. So, the last message, the calling out, doctrinally, coming into harmony with the doctrine of the beginning and of the prophetic part, we have a more sure word of prophecy, which we take heed to, as unto a light which burneth and shineth in a dark place. We are not interpreting, we are giving heed to the fulfillment of the prophetic word, and by this we recognize that the time of the return of our Lord has drawn now very near. In closing, we may also say this now for the glory of God. When the year 1977 was before us, and Brother Branham really, he really gave much meaning to the year 1977. Many were of the impression that it could be the last year. And behold, you know the testimony. Then the Lord gave the commission with the buildings here, with the property, because many people would come from the nations who would need accommodation. Now we have accommodation for more than 400 brothers and sisters who can partake here in the festive gatherings. Brothers and sisters, everything was laid by God himself in such a way. I did nothing for it. I just did what the Lord commanded me. Let us be grateful for this place. This is no pilgrimage place, but it's a place for the festive gatherings of our Lord, in which God comes to his right, in which God can bless beyond what we can ask or understand. Gatherings in which we are coming into harmony with God and His Word. Also, this could still be emphasized, and this in the hope that all understand it in the right way. We are placing the ministries of the prophets and apostles, we're placing them biblically. We appreciate it beyond measure that God is doing supernatural things when something special happens on the earth. Whether he came to Moses, whether he came to Abraham, whether he came to John the Baptist, I mean the angel Gabriel, whether to Mary, whether the angel came to John on the Isle of Patmos, whether to Brother Branham. For us it's important the harmony, the conformity with the supernatural working of God. Everything what God did, He does again. God has a pattern. And He said to Moses, do everything according to the pattern as you have seen it on the holy mount. When the plan of salvation becomes reality, then the supernatural happens here on the earth. And then God's people are called together according to the word of the Lord. Gather ye my people, all those who have made the covenant with me by sacrifice. Let us not break this covenant, but let us keep it. You all know, to a covenant always belong two. To a covenant belong two. God gave His word toward us. Let us confirm this covenant as the people of the new covenant. Let us acknowledge what God has done in our time. Namely, that He has sent His servant and prophet. He called him in a supernatural way. He confirmed him supernaturally, sending him to bring us the divine message with all what goes with it. And we did not add anything to it, but we left the divine message in the original and we passed it on, and it remains like this until the end. As I said already last night, if somebody comes with strange doctrines, then it's really important to not hearken to it, not giving the ear, not making any mixing doctrinally, no mixing, not tolerating any mixing, but leaving everything there where it can be placed according to the plan of God. Also, this I mentioned. If somebody says the new birth is a revelation, the rapture is a revelation, everything shall be now revelation. And I say it once again, every word of God leads into the realization, to the manifestation of that what God said. And at the return of Jesus Christ, yes, this word I read, and then we will thank the Lord. Romans 8. Here it's of course written that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. Romans chapter 8. Verse 19, then verse 21. Romans 8:19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation is being delivered of the even the creation is waiting to be delivered of this bondage. Romans 8, verse 21, because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Then verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, who we have received the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, namely the redemption of our body. Oh, how wonderful is God's word! How clear, how clear, how true. God said to us everything, whatever we must know. And we believe every word. We believe as the scripture has said. Now the last verse from Romans 8. Everything is wonderful. And here we are told, neither depth, nothing shall separate us. Nothing. 39. No height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. We are just so grateful that God has loved us so much that He revealed Himself to us and has given us the access to His Word. And especially also He opened unto us the understanding for the Scripture. Please receive it from the hand of the Lord. From now on, every gathering shall be a festive gathering with our Lord. Come in great expectation. Come in prayer. And the Lord will not disappoint us. He will walk with us the whole way. He will restore all things. He will restore all things, and together we will come from believing unto seeing. As sure as it was said, thou art sent with a message which will forerun the second coming of Christ, so sure the message is now forerunning the second coming of Christ. It's a part of the plan of salvation, which we may witness and experience by His grace. And we are of the conviction that God's word will accomplish for what it was sent for. To Him, the Almighty God, who holds all things in His hands, also in this time, who leads His people and who has led us up to this point, He will continue to lead us. Let us remain faithful, as we have heard it in the word of introduction. Remaining faithful until the end. Be faithful unto death, and He shall give you the crown of life. I expect out of full conviction that all who are hearing now God's word, that they believe, that they are being called out, that they are separated and prepared, and that they are part of the bride church. This I take from the hand of the Lord. All who believed John were part of it. All who believed the apostles and prophets, that believed. Faith is the most important thing. Faith is the power of God which is working in us. May God bless us all, and may He be with all of us. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand up. Let us pray together. And not only praying together, I would like, once again, I would like to give here the request that all who would like to consecrate their lives to the Lord, that they do it now. A festive gathering, the great day of atonement, was not only celebrated as all the other feasts, it was a festive gathering in the most holy place where God's people were coming together to remember the redemption on the great day of atonement. And today we remember the great day of atonement on the cross of Calvary. And we say, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. And to us, the carriers of his message, was given the ministry of reconciliation. And we are saying loud, be ye reconciled to God. May it be today a day of atonement, a reconciliation with God, reconciliation with one another, forgiveness from God, forgiveness each other. May this be a festive gathering so that the trumpet can sound, not giving an uncertain sound, but that all understood what the Lord has to say to us. We are bowing our heads now. We are closing our eyes and are opening our hearts in the presence of God. And I would like to ask, how many are here who need reconciliation with God, reconciliation with husband, with wife, with the children, sister, brother? How many are here who need forgiveness? All of us. We need reconciliation, forgiveness, that all obstacles are taken out of the way, and so that the Lord can come to his right with his bride church in our midst, all over the world, with all who are listening. Forgive one another just as God forgave you in Christ. Speak about no one a bad word. Pray for one another. And let us walk forward together, not looking on one another, but looking on the Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. He will bring all things to pass. Firstly, I would like to ask all the young people who would like to be included in this prayer. Who wants to raise his hand to dedicate his life to the Lord? All over the building, thank you. Let us pray. Dear Lord, you have laid this word directly onto my heart. Time and again, you reminded me in these hours to tell it to your church, for the promises unto you and to your children and all who are afar off. I'm asking you, beloved Lord, may all my brothers and sisters and all children receive in reverence before you what you promised. Save, deliver, reconcile, and forgive. Give full salvation by your grace, so that this day would be a day of salvation. And all who received you, to them you have given the right to become the children of God, namely to them who believe on your name. Please receive it. This is the special day, the special festive day for mothers and fathers, for daughters and sons, whom the Lord has given to you. Hold fast to it. It's the promise from the first sermon. And may it be the promise and emphasized in the last sermon. May God bless. We continue to pray. And I would like to ask now, how many altogether are here today who would like to rededicate their lives to the Lord? Taking everything out from the heart, what is against each other, taking it out from the heart, making a full consecration without any objecting before the Lord. Let nobody think his own thought. Let nobody seek his own ways. Let each one return to the Lord. And God will be merciful to us. Who would like to raise his hand? That we all rededicate our lives to the Lord. All the hands are up. Precious Lord, this is a consecration hour, a day of reconciliation, a day of salvation, a festive day before our God. I thank you for your holy and precious blood. I thank you for the new covenant. Keep it, and we are also keeping it by your grace. In your holy name, crown us all with loving kindness and with mercy. Let us be all strengthened with new devotion. Let us leave this building being consecrated, returning to our homes. I thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven all, that all have experienced reconciliation, and that this day is a new beginning which you made with us. May this year become a year of jubilee, a year of jubilee, where all are returning to their original possession which you purchased for us. Lord, please crown us with mercy and with loving kindness. I receive it by faith. I have the question now. Did you receive it? Then just say, yes, I accept it. Yes, I accept it. I receive it. And in that moment, where you have accepted it, then it's yours. Then it's yours. A direct accepting. Now, a special prayer request for all the sick. It's of course not only written, the Spirit of God rests upon me to preach deliverance unto the captives and the acceptable year, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It's also written in Mark 16, the Lord was with them and confirmed the word which they preached by signs and wonders As he said it after his resurrection, he also fulfilled it after his ascension. We have to look at the Holy Scripture anew. On the cross of Calvary, it was accomplished. After the resurrection, he gave the Great Commission and all what goes with it. Up to they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then comes after the ascension, when the disciples went forth, then this, I read it to you, so that all know that it's really written like this. And it was not only said, the last verse in Mark 16, verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. We want to experience this anew, that the Lord can be at work in our midst. It belongs to the restoration. Once again, the sacrifice was given. The blood of the new covenant was shed. With his own blood, our Lord and Redeemer entered into the Holy of Holies, and he placed it there on the mercy seat, as written in Hebrews chapter 9. And after the resurrection, he gave the Great Commission to carry the word, to preach the everlasting gospel. And after the ascension, he fulfilled his word and said, "Behold, I am with you until the end of the world." He was with his own, and he was confirming the word by signs and wonders following. The time is here now. The time is here. A festive day, a day of salvation, a day in the presence of God. Now, once again, we will pray together that we, as the church, stand upon the word and say, "Dear Lord, that's how you did it at the beginning. Please, we believe that you will do it in the same way now at the end. Accompany us. Confirm thy word." And until now, we may not only claim, but we may say of a truth, we preached only his word, nothing but his word. And God will confirm his word. He, the risen Lord, is today present. A festive gathering, a feast day, a day of salvation which the Lord has given us. Let us now thank together. Dear Lord, you ever faithful God, we have heard your word. We believe that you are the same. And as you, after your ascension, were confirming your word at the beginning, now confirm thy word before you return. Confirm thy word in our midst. Go through our rows. Save, deliver, bless. Let the victory of Calvary be manifested. May all the enemies thy footstool, thou victor of Calvary. We thank you and we praise you. By your stripes we are healed. By your blood we are redeemed. Dear Lord, may all receive it by faith. Bless all over the world your blood-bought flock. Let us find grace in thy sight. We are thanking you for the confirmation of thy word. We are thanking you for everything what we looked at today. Lord, my God, I'm overwhelmed of what you have to say to us. Give us the grace in simplicity, without objecting, without rebelling, just to say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that we all understand that only in thy will we once for all can be sanctified and can be brought to the destination. As written in Hebrews 10, give each brother, give each sister, every father, every mother, every son, every daughter, give us all this grace before you in thy sight. To not let bypass this day, but let us receive the full blessing of God after the spirit, soul, and body by your grace. To you, the Almighty God, be the honor, to the only God who exists, the Creator, Redeemer, King, all in all art thou alone. And we are yours for time and for eternity. We thank you, beloved Lord, that everything what was decided before the foundation of the world, you started with it, and now you will give the completion by your grace. To you belongs all the glory and the praise throughout all eternity. Thou art worthy, you alone, to receive all the praise and worship. Hallelujah. Let us sing, thou art worthy, thou art worthy. Hallelujah. The truth is marching on. It's marching on. Once again, the announcement, God willing, beginning of April, we are here again. In March, if the Lord gives grace, I'm planning to make a trip to South America for about 10 days. Remember me in your prayers. At the age of 77, one is no more 57, but God has given grace until now, and the word was carried, and it will be still carried until the last one is being called out, and where we cannot come personally. You all know we have still the TV program in New Zealand, in Australia, in Canada, in the USA, in South America, also from Kazakhstan in the Russian language. We are trying to do our part so that the word is really reaching the ends of the earth. Then we are planning at the time around Easter, Good Friday in the city of Böblingen, on Saturday in Salzburg, and on Sunday in Zurich. And our brother from Brussels, Jean-Claude, he was asking me to come also once to Brussels. We will see if we find time for it. I'm ready to serve the Lord and to do everything what is in my strength so that the word of God can run swiftly. But, brothers, God has placed you in the various cities. You have the same revelation. You have the same word, the same seed. You are distributing the spiritual food, because thus it is still written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not only of a few words, by every word. And this is the time in which we believe every word, living it out, not bypassing any word anymore, but believing every word, putting every word into practice, and you will see the Lord God will confirm his word. To all our brothers, especially to all ministering brethren from all peoples, tongues, we wish with all our hearts God's blessing. Hold fast to the unity in the Spirit and in the faith. And if the ministering brethren are becoming one heart and one soul, then also the several assemblies will become one heart and one soul. Do you know where we have to come to? That every brother can speak in any assembly, and no brother has to be afraid. Oh, something is happening. Oh, something is being preached now, which is not right. It must really come under the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. Yes. Not a single one who thinks, oh, now I will show them something. Not in the church of the living God. Not in the church of the Lord. There, the carriers of the word are necessary. May the Lord really give it to all ministering brethren in the unity of the Spirit to bring the word of the Lord. And then we all will be blessed in the name of the Lord. Brother Schmidt will pray with us. Great God, we say thanks to you in Christ Jesus our Lord for your word, for the word of truth, which you brought unto us through Jesus Christ our Lord, for your word is the truth. Lord, we ask you, as it was prayed already, bless all who have listened. Give all the grace, O God, your grace to lead us and guide us. And grace to all ministering brethren. Please give wisdom and understanding, Lord, and revelation. Reveal thyself in word and deed. We ask it for your name's sake. We also thank you for this opportunity which we have time and again. I'm asking you, Lord, help us, help me, that whenever we are gathering in your presence, Lord, at the place in which you prepared for us, that we may hear your word, that we come in reverence, in a prayer atmosphere, until you speak to us through thy word. Please, Lord, do it in each one of us. I thank you for this weekend, that you have done it, Lord. Oh, Lord, be merciful and abide with us and lead all for the glory of your name into all the truth. Amen. Brothers and sisters, did you receive it? Say amen. Then we sing Praise, Honor and Glory.
Amen.
We can really say, He has blessed us.